the challenge in Jonah's gospel, that's funny, Jonah's book of prophecy, the gospel in Jonah's book of prophecy. The gospel in Jonah's book of prophecy is compassion. That's the question. And God says to Jonah, get up and go to Nineveh. And Jonah goes promptly down instead of up. He goes down to the shore. He goes on the boat. He tries to go away from Nineveh, the opposite direction. He goes down into the bottom of the boat. He goes down to sleep. And everyone around him ends up saying to him, get up. So even the ship captain, when the great storm comes and rocks the boat, the ship captain goes down and says to him, get up and pray to your God. Perhaps he will save us. So everyone is telling Jonah to get up. Wake up, stand up, get up. And there's something about that position, that standing position, that getting up. It harkens back to standing as the position for prayer, right? Because of the medieval experience, we think of kneeling as the petition for prayer. But to the ancient Hebrews, standing with your arms raised was the way you prayed. So there's something about prayer and standing in prayer that's being implied here. He's asked to stand up and to proclaim, and he keeps refusing to do so. And so what happens is everyone around Jonah acts more compassionately than he does. God has compassion for Nineveh and therefore wants Jonah to go there and preach. And Jonah doesn't want to go to Nineveh because he's already judged them as unworthy. And then on the boat, the sea captain finally gets him to say, asks him what's going on. And he says, well, yeah, it's me because I'm like going the other direction from where God wants me to go. And you know, you want the sea to calm down, you're going to have to throw me overboard. And the sea captain, and the seamen, they're supposed to be, you know, in ancient Israel, people who worked on boats out on the ocean, as opposed to the local fishermen, were looked at as sketchy people, right? Questionable morals. And here are these people, and they've been praying for the safety of their boat. And Jonah says, well, it's me, throw me overboard and it'll all calm down. And they don't want to. They try throwing their cargo, their prophet. They try throwing it off the boat. They try doing everything they can other than throw Jonah overboard, because that's not what you do. That's not compassionate. So even in this instance, the irony is thick, right? God says, get up, and Jonah goes down. And Jonah, the prophet of God, who's supposed to have something to do with compassion, is not compassionate. And these pagan mariners, who are supposed to be sketchy, questionably moral people, are acting more moral and more compassionate than Jonah. It's hilarious to read this book. And it's a short little book. You can go home and read it in one sitting. So they are acting more compassionate than Jonah. And finally, they realize they've got to pitch him overboard. And they finally do. And they ask the gods for forgiveness for doing that. They throw him overboard. Things calm down. And they pray and give thanks and make prayers for Jonah. And, you know, compassion. Compassion. So again, Jonah's going, managing to go down. God said, get up, and he keeps going down. So he's in the belly of the whale, and he goes down into the sea, and down to the bottom of the sea, in the belly of the great, actually the text says great fish. So he's down there. Now, you would think, if you were in the belly of a great fish at the bottom of the sea, that you might be praying, help! It seems like that might be the prayer you'd want to make in that situation, right? And instead, what Jonah does is he composes a poem. It's all formal. I thank thee, God, that you have delivered me, and blah, 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 blah. It's like he's filling the form without having the feelings. This is what you do when you're, you know, a prophet. You write poetry. So I'm sitting here in the bottom of the ocean in this fish, and I'm going to write poetry. And it's like the most absurd thing, right? So again, he keeps refusing to look inside himself. He keeps refusing to have feelings related to what's going on. Does that sound like the news today? So God, God has the great fish finally spit him out, and he gets spit out, and he's not far from Nineveh, and God says, okay, again, I'm telling you, get up and go. And he says, fine, I'll go. So he goes into Nineveh, and he preaches, and he's stunningly effective. Would that I could preach that effectively, right? One sermon through a third of the town, and the whole place is repenting. Right? One sermon through the third of the town, and the king and his nobles are issuing a proclamation. Everybody's wearing sackcloth and ashes, including the animals. Now, I'm not a farm person, I'm an urban person, but I think it would be hilarious to see a cow in sackcloth and ashes. So everybody repents, and again, Jonah finally has a feeling. That's kind of interesting. But the feeling he has is upset. And he goes out and he sulks about, I knew you would change your mind, God. I knew you wouldn't do what you said you were going to do. And God's like, well, you know, hello, people, animals, life. Shouldn't I be happy that they repented? And that's the challenge of the text. That's the challenge of the text. Our ability to be compassionate is directly related to our experience of needing ourselves to cry out. We human beings sometimes, standing as we do right in the midst of life and death, sometimes we need to cry out. We need to make that help prayer. And because we have that experience, what happens is that if we're healthy enough human beings with some spirituality and compassion, then we respond to others when they need to cry out. And that's called compassion. That's called compassion. Compassion doesn't provide you with surety. Compassion doesn't provide you with answers. But it provides significant human and divine connection. The word for compassion in Hebrew is rachmim. And rachmim is related to the word for womb, rechem. And we think that it goes right back to the cries of a woman in labor. And again, it's that idea of crying out. What Jonah refuses to do is cry out. He effectively cries out when he preaches, but he didn't want to. He wanted to run the other direction because he doesn't want to cry out in need or connect to other people who need to cry out in need, like the sailors, like the Ninevites. Jesus is asked for a sign. Basically, he's asked, prove to us that you're the Messiah. I'm waiting. Prove it. And Jesus says, the only sign you're going to get is the sign of Jonah. The sign is you're going to have to stand there between life and death. The sign is you're going to have to cry out and wait to see if God responds. And guess what? God will respond. But that's the only sign you're going to get, says Jesus. The sign of Jonah. The sign of compassion. And the need, the human need that we feel that gives rise to our compassion towards the need of others. Poor old Jonah, he didn't want to stand up and cry out. He wanted to go down and go to sleep. But all of the readings that we have today challenge us to wake up and have compassion.